Greetings from Loonsville. This is Sid, and I am back here with Jeff.
What is up?
And we watched, I don't know, this movie is on one of my favorites. It's on my favorites list, probably.
Grim Reaper?
Yeah, the Grim Reaper, the Savage Island, Anthropophagus.
Anthropopalopagus.
What else was the name? Oh, Maneater.
Yeah, this movie has quite a few titles.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, there are a number of movies from the same era, and genre that have multiple titles, but this one has, I think, 5.
Yeah, it has quite a few. It's directed by Joe D'Amato. He's, like, one of my favorites. Not his porn, but, like, his horror movies.
And his horror porn.
Yeah, his horror movies. I like his horror movies. Not his porn. It's co-written by George Eastman, and we've already talked about a movie that he co-wrote.
Yeah. It's one of the few movies that I had not seen that I was surprisingly pleased by.
Yeah, that's a good movie. So, but in this one, he plays a big dude. I mean, he is a big dude.
He plays the cannibal.
Yeah, he plays the guy who goes crazy and starts eating people. And he's a scary dude.
He definitely has an imposing stature. I will absolutely give him that. George Eastman is not a little man.
No, he's not.
I wonder how tall he is exactly. He's got to be at least 6'5".
Oh, yeah. I think so. You'd have to look it up. But I don't know. So we start off not in English. And so you were kind of worried about that, like, when we first started watching it.
Yeah, I've never seen this movie start out with the title Anthropophagus.
Yeah.
So I was surprised by that, because I didn't know which one I got. And when I saw the title come up under that, I was a little worried that I got straight Italian rip, and luckily enough, it started out standard, and then it continued to be.
Yeah, it's most of the versions I've seen, it starts off with it saying that it's the Savage Island. And I think the version on Tubi also says that, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
But if you want to watch the movie, it's on Tubi for free under the title The Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
Also, Severin Films put out a really good Blu-ray of it, which is what I have. I would recommend seeing this. I mean, I just said it's one of my favorites, so
yeah.
Of course I would.
If you want to see some super disturbing edibles, I would definitely recommend this movie. Yeah. If you like any of the Italian cannibal flicks or any cannibal flicks, I would recommend this movie.
I'm gonna say it's like the cannibal flicks. I would, if you like Italian horror, you probably dig it. Or Italian horror flicks. It's not as
it's not as cannibalistic as the other cannibal movies by any means, but
it's not as fucked up either.
I don't know, man. There in the uncut, there was a couple scenes I noticed in this that weren't.
There's fucked up stuff, but there's not, and they're mostly gore stuff that's fucked up. In those cannibal movies, there's a lot more things that are more fucked up.
Oh, I don't know. We'll get to the part that was probably the most fucked up scene in the whole movie, but and it definitely takes the cake on any. There's some pretty gruesome shit in the cannibal movies, but yeah, none of them really compare to the level of one scene in this movie.
Yeah. See, I'm all good with gore, and so I actually really like it. This is the uncut version. I think the cut version took that out.
Yeah, I've never seen the scene in the caves. That was a new one.
Yeah, so we start off in a foreign speaking couple is down by on the beach, and she decides she wants to go take a swim.
Yeah, out to a boat that's just floating out there.
Yeah, like I don't know why. In horror movies, I don't understand why people want to explore places.
Like, curiosity of just random things, too. It's not even exploration to explore. It's like, hey, there's something fucking weird. Let's go check that out.
Yeah, there's a boat down there.
There's a boat 20 yards out from the shore just floating. I'm going to go see what's up with that.
I don't know if anyone's on it or someone's sleeping on it or whatever, because it's a beach, and
yeah, because we totally walked down here, so it's not my boat.
Yeah, you don't know who's on it or whose boat it is, but it's there, so let's swim to it.
Yeah, it totally works out for her too. She's definitely not eaten.
Well, it ends up being his boat, I think.
It was. That's definitely the same dinghy from the later flashback.
Yeah.
But so yeah, she gets pulled underwater and then you see some blood. That's it. And then her boyfriend, who's laying on the beach with a big ass 1960s radio headset on, which is pretty badass, by the way. I'd love to find one of those. I used to have one of those in orange, and I don't know whatever happened to it, but it'd be super cool to still have one.
So he's not hearing shit.
Yeah, he don't hear fucking nothing. Especially the dude walking his big ass up to him with a meat cleaver.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely... This dude is not quiet.
No, never. Like, he snores when he walks.
Yeah. The dog wasn't gonna take that shit either. The dog just left.
Dude, yeah. So they're on the beach with a dog, and as soon as the chick gets pulled underwater, the dog's like, you know what? I'm fucking out of here.
Right. Every other dog I know or have seen in movies would at least try to bark at the bark, going, what the fuck are you doing here? What the fuck are you doing here?
Nope.
Not this dog. This is like, fuck you all. I know what you do to dogs in Italian flicks.
Right? He's like, nah, I'm out. No, nobody's getting me.
Kids and dogs are on a list in Italy. So a dog runs away and he gets a meat cleaver in the face.
Yeah. It's stuck right into his forehead.
So this is where our main cast of characters meets up. We have a pregnant lady and her husband. And a couple friends. and somebody they don't know who's taking pictures, and she ends up needing a ride to an island. And they're just like, yeah, we're waiting for somebody to pick us up, so we'll ask him if it's cool for us to give you a ride.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If you're in an Italian area and somebody wants you to take them to an island, just don't do it. It never works out.
Well, it usually never works out when you take rides from them.
You know what? This is true. Just don't go to Italy. I suppose since the current Italy situation's going down, you know, best wishes and fortune to anybody that knows anybody in Italy or anybody that is in Italy.
Yeah, they're going through some shit.
Even though, you know, currently we're in the United States kicking ass on this whole virus thing, you know, just getting fucking ravaged by it. So I guess, you know, good ups to us too.
Well, I mean,
yeah, we're not going to get into that.
We've got plenty of time to watch movies.
Yeah.
So they meet up. They're going to get a ride. He picks them up, and he's just okay with giving this lady a ride and going out on the boat. And they hang out. They drink some Coke.
Yeah, some good old Coke.
Yeah, and they're, she's explaining why she's going there. She, hangs out with this blind girl. And, just to keep her company, and she's not really friends with the people, but they, have her come out to vacation and hang out with their blind daughter. We just get a little bit of a explanation why she was late, and now she's trying to get to this island, and everyone is like, yeah, let's all go.
Yeah, party at Easter Island.
Yeah, and we got the chick that's super into tarot cards.
Yeah. She's commented on always having her tarot cards, and somebody says that they would need to rip them away from her, and immediately after that is said, it shows her throwing them into the ocean.
Yeah, but she's doing that because she's afraid of them.
Yeah, she pulled the death card.
Yeah, because the pregnant lady was asking about her kid.
Yep. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, which they do. You know all these people are probably going to die.
Yeah, it's Italian horror. I mean, they're lucky if one of them makes it out.
Yeah. So
it's usually a male and a female that make it out, though.
Yeah, they're on the way to this island. Already the tarot card girl has some tension between the new girl because the guy she likes has a thing for her. He likes a new girl, and she's in love with him, and she likes the doctor, who is that guy's sister. I mean, the tarot card chick is his sister. So there's this whole weird thing causing tension between her and this one chick.
Yeah, animosity arises. And then we get to the island where it's a lot of great scenery. I mean, it looks amazing. But that's because, you know, it's filmed on location.
Yeah.
So the I don't know how they cleared it out, but it's completely deserted. I mean, they might have just asked the people to stay inside while they filmed.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Just that a hidden place.
Yeah, But the streets are all empty. The houses all look empty. Everybody's curious as to why there are no people. They can't find any people. And then they do see one lady in a house up on the third-ish.
Well, first they go all Scooby-Doo and split up.
Yeah, I guess that's worth noting. Because, you know, okay, gang, let's just split. They do. They team out. Not team up. They team out.
Yeah. Well, they leave the pregnant girl on the boat.
Yes, they leave the pregnant girl and one guy who is not her husband on the boat.
Yeah, he's just the one keeping check on the boat and make sure it doesn't float away.
Which it totally does.
Yeah, and the pregnant girl, what, sprained her ankle?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, she tripped.
Yep. She... yeah. She has a hell of a little experience.
Do we want to talk about that, or do you want to go into what they're looking for in the
village? We could talk about the experience I was talking about really quick, and then we could talk about the town. So she's on the boat, and I can't remember what the guy was doing. He was either pulling or checking the anchor or something. But then he gets pulled overboard.
Oh, he has the bucket of water.
Right, that's what he was doing. He was dipping the bucket of water into the ocean to pull the salt water out so she could soak her foot.
Yeah, and he falls in.
Yeah. And then she pulls the bucket up to get the water to soak her foot and sticks her foot into the bucket of water, which contains the guy's head. Oh, big reveal. Yeah.
Well,
and
which, all this was done underwater. I don't know how.
Yeah. I'm not really sure how his head was cleaved off under the water or any of that.
George Eastman could hold his breath.
Yeah, he can, man. That dude, he's a hell of a diver. I'll give him that. Back to the town.
Yeah, and the boat is drifting off.
The people find that lady up in the window, and they're searching the house, and they find a body that looks like it's been eaten a bit, and it's really decayed, and then they worry about the guy's wife out on the boat, and they run down to the beach and see the boat has drifted pretty far from the shore, and they're like, oh, no, it's cool. They just know that the storm's coming, so he's moving the boat out, and he'll bring it back in the morning.
The lady even gives them a warning going, get out. How come no one ever listens to anything that says get out?
Because I'm not going to listen to you. I am a white people.
Little messages on the window saying get out. You don't.
They could be fucking, yeah.
Sometimes the house even just tells you to get out. Nobody listens.
Yeah, you know what? They don't. I just thought about two movies where the house actually tells the people to get out, and everybody's like, oh my god, we should investigate. It's like...
Well, the Amityville Horror.
Yeah, that's one of them, but yeah. That one they don't investigate. They're just like, you know what? Fuck you, I'm staying anyway. And it's like, alright, I told you. I mean, don't say I didn't warn you. Your whole family's dead now.
Yeah, then he stubs his toe on a statue and he figures it's way too much and let's move out.
Yeah. You know what? I'm completely cool with demons and ghosts and devils and fucking possession and, oh my god, my toe. All right, we should go.
Yeah. And we should do those movies. Those movies are fun.
Yeah, I'm actually a fan of a few of them. I'm not even ashamed to say I liked the remake.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I should specify which remake. I liked the remake with
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, the Ryan Reynolds remake.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, I like Ryan Reynolds though, so.
Have you seen the ones where it's just like a piece of furniture from the old house and that's what's cursed? And it kind of like...
Yeah, the I think there's one that's actually called the Amityville Curse.
Yeah.
And there's one that's called...
Dollhouse, I think.
Something like that.
The Next Generation. Everything has a Next Generation.
Yeah, and they're never good. No horror movie called The Next Generation is good.
Yeah, but we should do those too. Those movies are fun.
They are fun. They're worth watching. I'm never going to say that any of the Amityvilles aren't worth watching. They're just... I don't
know, I've seen a couple that were bad.
Yeah, I was getting to the same thing. Some of them aren't good, but they're worth watching.
The main ones are pretty good. The little ripoff ones, like something that seems like it would have been made by Asylum Pictures or something, those weren't very good, but...
Yeah. They're bad.
There's a few of those. But that's back to Anthropophagus. No one listens to warnings.
No. They're all like, fuck your warning.
Yeah, and so they find out the boat's drifting away. He doesn't want the other guy swimming to it because that's a pretty long swim. But I wonder if he did make it. It's probably possible that he would have made it and he would have got on the boat and he might have been okay.
Yeah, he could have.
But he'd probably turn it around and pick up everybody, right? Unless he just...
Right? Yeah, they're like, don't swim for it. You won't survive. He's like, you know what? I got a better chance on that fucking boat. Oh, man. Yeah, so they're in town.
Just they decided to stay in the person's house.
Told them to get out.
Oh, and that is at her friend's house that they decided to stay in one of their cubbies.
Oh, yeah. So this house turns out to be just as safe as everywhere else.
Yeah, everyone's gone. They left their stuff. Food is on the table.
It totally looks inviting.
Yeah, somebody just like, they just got wiped out or they ran away or something happened to these people.
Yeah, it looks like it got abandoned in a hurry, and everybody's like, yeah, this is welcoming. We can stay here.
So, we're going to Scooby-Doo it.
We're going to look around.
Yeah, so they end up going into this one place. And what the... Oh, wait, no, the... They find the blind girl.
I guess you could say they find her.
She finds them.
Yeah, they're walking through. I don't know if it's the living room or just kind of a sitting room that's part of this place, but as they're walking through it, the blind girl comes out of a vat of bloody water swinging a fucking kitchen knife.
Yeah.
And since she's blind, you know, she's just stabbing repeatedly into nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And she catches the dude that was supposed to swim to the boat but wasn't allowed to, right in the back with the blade.
Ow.
Which is the least of his troubles.
Yeah. Then they find out who wrote them the note, the get out. And she hangs herself.
Yeah. She hangs herself aggressively. That same third story that she was on looking at him out the window. Yeah, she ties a rope to the banister and fucking face dives off of it. I mean, that's some shit.
There's something about Italians and their shock hangings.
Right? Nobody fucking ties a rope to a door to a fucking ceiling or anything, a banister from 10 feet up. No, they're like, I am jumping from 40 feet. It's going down.
It's going to snap my neck.
Well, I mean, that would be the best way to do it. If you're going to hang yourself, I mean, don't hang yourself. It's not worth it. But if you're going to, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, like, have you noticed, like, in most of the Italian movies that we've at least watched, there's at least one hanging?
There's either at least a hanging or a mock hanging where, you know, the killer strangles somebody and then props them up like they hung themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Hangings are definitely prominent.
And they're usually, like, jump scares. They'll fall out of the, like, out of nowhere and just somebody hanging.
Like, they open an attic door and a body comes down tied to a rope.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, how was that propped above the door that I could still open the door and then the body would come down? Oh, good stuff.
Yeah. So she hangs herself. They cut her down, but she's still dead. They find... Oh, wait. Carol's back. Carol decided...
Carol.
She's a bitch, and she is very mad at the new girl and decides she's going to run off.
Yeah, Carol's the one that wasn't a fan on the boat, and Carol's still not a fan of anything. So the body comes down, and then Carol's like, you know what? My name's fucking Carol. I'm out of here.
And she locks the new girl out in the cemetery. I mean, nothing happens to her, but she tried to leave her out to die.
Yeah, you know, this chick runs for quite the distance. Like, they go through a wooded area and then through a cemetery. And then there's an iron gate. And she fucking locks the gate. Which, I'm just gonna, you know, throw it out there. You could definitely climb over. I mean, it's like 14 feet tall. It's not a small gate, but if it came down to it and I was gated into a cemetery, I don't care how tall that gate is. I'm climbing it.
Hmm.
But yeah, so Carol's a bitch.
She is. But then they become friends, which is nice. They start getting along after this whole graveyard luck and leave you out to die, even though I don't know what I'm leaving you out to die from thing happens.
Yeah. She really has no reason to be such a bitch, but...
And she realizes that, so she apologizes, and they're friends now.
Yeah.
And then she dies.
Team about to die.
Yeah, she gets her throat slit, and she's walking, and... notices she falls over and motherfucking George Eastman bursts in with a knife.
Motherfucking what?
George Eastman.
Yeah. And then cut two. We get the blind girl screaming.
Yeah. Like, she can kind of sense he's in the area, I guess. She smells him.
Yeah. I'm sure she could hear him. She's got that, you know, heightened sense of hearing. And you've got George Eastman's big ass standing right over your bed.
Yeah, you can definitely hear every thump of his foot and his breath. He's just like...
Yeah, he's got that heavy breathing going on.
But somehow he's able to pop out of corners and surprise people.
Yeah, you know, it's just that typical badass, big-ass killer fucking, you can't hear me, I'm a surprise pop-out snoring.
So we find out that the girl that hung herself is the sister of George Eastman, I believe.
Yeah.
And then we get a nice little flashback of normal-looking George Eastman and his family.
Yep, George Eastman had a ginger kid with a black-haired lady.
Yeah, and he don't.
And George Eastman has black hair.
Yeah, you don't want anything to do with this kid.
He's like, he pulls a knife and he's like, I'm gonna eat him. He's dead, and the kid's eyes are open. Like the kid opens his eyes as he's talking about killing him.
Yeah,
and then his wife or girlfriend, fiance, woman, whatever, thrusts herself into the blade and dies, telling him to eat her.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he ended up eating both of them.
Yes, I'm guessing so. I think that's what... We don't know how long they were on the boat, and we don't know where their boat is, because it seems like it was swimmable to it once we're in the beginning of the movie. So we don't know...
I'm guessing it was by that beach, because that's how far... Well, I mean, he got back. I'm guessing that's how he got back.
But he...
It had drifted that far, and he had eaten the people on the way.
Yeah, he freaked the fuck out when he stabbed his old lady, but he was willing to gouge that ginger
kid. Yeah, he was willing to eat their kid. I don't know if that was their kid. It doesn't really say it, but, I mean, I don't know how you could believe that.
It was her kid.
To black-haired Italian people.
It was her kid.
She does say, it's our son.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know how you could believe that that's actually their kid when he is a redhead.
Well, he has no soul. So it's okay to
Ginger jokes. Oh, but yeah. So,
But he freaks out. Like, he was willing to stab the shit out of his kid and eat it. But...
He was. So then we get people rushing up to see, well, not people, the guy that got his back cut by the blind girl rushes up to her room to see if she is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And George Eastman is standing there, like,
behind the door,
choking her.
Yeah.
I think. And he comes in and sees him. And then he gets his throat eaten.
Yeah.
He's got a kitchen knife. And he gets completely overpowered, drops the knife, pinned down to the ground, and then George Eastman's like, ooh, you have a tasty throat.
Yeah, he doesn't really, like, stay and eat anybody. He saves the bodies. Or some... He puts them down in the...
He just bites their throats out.
He kills them.
True animalistic quality, too, because, I mean, any smart animal goes for the jugular. But he doesn't go for the jugular. He eats the esophagus.
Yeah. Then what? He takes the bodies down to his little cellar of...
Yeah, down to his little cave of wonders.
Does he still eat these? Or are they saved for later?
I don't know, because a lot of them were completely rotted.
Yeah.
But they still had the flesh. So it's like... What are you saving? Is it, he's treating them like sausages, I guess. You know, you age them until they rot, and then you do whatever. His giant links of sausage people.
Because I'm guessing the idea of this is that he went insane because he almost starved to death and killed his wife and maybe his kid.
Probably the kid. He probably, since he was willing to eat the kid... Even though he wasn't dead, he's like, he's fucking dead, forget it. And the kid's like, what? And he's just like, I'm gonna eat him. I'm guessing he, even though the wife threw herself on the knife, he still ate that fucking kid first.
Yeah, no, he probably ate him second. It was probably like dessert.
No, because he had an emotional attachment more to the woman and was upset about her dying while willing to eat the kid. He probably cried over her death for a couple days while he was eating the kid.
Couple days of eating the kid, I'm sure. He probably threw her body out somewhere and ate the kid anyway.
He buried her and fucking ate the kid.
Yeah, he ate one or two of them.
He snacked on that kid. You know what? He had to be at water for a while. He had those good sunburns and shit, you know?
Yeah, so I'm wondering if... because if the idea of it is that he's just went crazy, so he's trying to stockpile food.
Yeah, I don't know, but he's got quite the collection. You know what? Matter of fact, that's probably why that whole town was empty. There's a good 30, 40 bodies.
Yeah.
He came home and ate everybody. He's like, I'm never starving again. I eat people now.
Yeah, and actually, it's kind of believable that he was able to do it. This dude is huge.
Yeah, he would definitely take out everybody. It's not unbelievable that one guy could clear out a whole town.
Not this guy.
And it's not unbelievable that he could eat a whole person.
Okay. So he has this whole underground...
crypt.
Yeah, and it has bodies dug...
lining the walls.
Yeah, so I don't know if he did that personally or if it was something like that before and he just used it to put the bodies in. Because I don't know the timing of all this.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's hard to say if the crypt had already existed or if he... if he just went into a cave and did it himself. But I'm guessing for sake of argument, the cave existed and he turned it into a crypt. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know if he would care enough to like dig each one of those shelves.
That's what I was wondering.
That might have just been the town burial crypt.
Maybe. So maybe those bodies weren't people that he got.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. He's got bodies everywhere. I mean, when that, was it Carol that broke into the room?
Yeah.
No, it was the new girl.
Yeah, new girl.
Yeah. We like to dub people with random nicknames, so new girl, fucking... Everybody's dying. We'll just say that, but we might touch on them. New girl finds this big-ass mirror on a boudoir and decides, you know what, fuck your mirror. And she grabs a candle holder
and smashes
and throws it at the mirror to reveal a hidden room that you wouldn't even think was there. So I don't know why she knew it was there to smash Scooby that do. Mirror. Scooby motherfucking do. But, yeah, that room had 7 other people in it that were all dead, sheeted in chairs. Worms on their faces. I don't know how the worms got there. Because, I mean, they weren't maggots from coffin flies. They were straight up worms. Yeah. In a closet.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Maybe he moved them from just... the crypt.
Yeah, you know, he's making room.
So, the dude finds his pregnant girlfriend and she's alive. So, he gets her up. They're gonna escape. And...
Well... They'll be fine.
Because things don't happen to pregnant people.
Yeah, never. Yeah, and then, you know, you hear Snorlax just stomping down the fucking cave entrance. And instead of running or hiding, which I only say because...
Her ankle hurts.
There's a second entrance that you see moments later after they get cornered. Another guy with another big ass kitchen knife, by the way. Everybody's got a kitchen knife in this movie. They all have a fucking stainless 12-inch blade. Michael Myers kitted out this whole family. This dude also gets overpowered George Eastman's character takes his knife and shoves it straight into his clavicle. Like,
yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
And
then he makes him watch as he takes his woman, pins her to the ground, chokes her to death, shoves his arm up her vaginal crevice. I'm calling it that because it's gross. Pulls out her baby in the amniotic sack and takes a fat ass bite out of this bitch like it's a fucking and cheeseburger. Then
throws it to the side. He only takes one bite out of fucking everything.
Yeah. It cuts away from the scene. But that scene is the one I mentioned was more gruesome and over the top than any I've seen in a cannibal movie. I've never seen somebody rip a live baby from a pregnant woman and then fucking eat it. I've seen them rip a live baby from a pregnant woman and then rip it apart, but never take a bite out of it.
You think he would have actually done that if they didn't tell him she was pregnant?
Yeah, he knew she was pregnant.
He made a face and goes like, "He's pregnant. She's pregnant. Don't you understand?" And then he's like,
"Yeah, I guess he did make a face like, bitch, let me show you what I think about that.
Baby.
Cheeseburgers." It's kind of brutal.
It is.
It's, yeah. I don't even know what to say. It was excessive.
It had to be.
It did have to be. Oh, that's probably the ultimate kill in any cannibal movie I've seen. And there's some pretty fucking great ones.
So
this one was more like, what the fuck?
This is a good... I really like this movie. It's a fun little gore classic from the 80s.
Yeah.
So we go back to New Girl and Blind Chick. And kind of running from George Eastman because he's back. He like teleports.
Yeah, he's got that whole Jason Voorhees thing going on where he's everywhere. He goes right from the cave snacking on babies to he's in the fucking house again.
Yeah, and they find the attic. So they're hiding in there. They lock the door.
Wait, before we get to that, they totally run up the most Kubrickian fucking staircase I have ever seen. This thing never ends. Like I don't understand how many stories, because if you look at these buildings and they're at a villa, I guess, and when it shows it from the outside, it looks like it's three stories tall, maybe four, but when it shows them running up the staircase, that thing looks like it's in a fucking skyscraper. There are so many levels.
No, like, all those places look like they're mansions.
Yeah, they do. And they probably all have staircases that have 90 flights of stairs in them that make no sense. But, yeah, so anyway, back to them reaching the attic. Look
better on the inside.
I was going to make a joke about how all the people look better on the inside, too, but I guess I did.
So
they reach the attic, and they're like, ooh, we're safe. But then teleporting George punches through the roof and grabs the blind girl.
He was just like, all right, I'm not going to get through this thing. I could obviously punch through things, but this door would be too hard, so I'm going to go down the ladder. And he walks slowly. And I think it takes
a good bit of time. No access to that roof. It shows the place from the outside. It's three stories high, and it's an Italian villa with fucking ceramic tile shingling on it There's no ladder up there. There's no hatch that goes to the roof. How the fuck did he get up there?
Rope? I don't know.
He fucking teleported.
Alright. He teleported.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, so he punches through the roof and grabs her by the head and pulls her up through the hole he punched into, ripping her face meat.
And then biting her throat.
Yeah, and then he bites her throat. And he gets stabbed in the... So while this is happening, the new girl, as she is totally being called this entire time, because fuck her name, she is beating through the roof with a pickaxe that just happened to be mm-hmm. in the attic. And once she gets through, she stabs him in the ankle, or yeah. calf. I think it was the calf, with the pickaxe, which really yeah, upsets him. He groans. He's like, and then he falls off the roof. And then the new girl falls down, completely lifeless. She's dead. She got her throat eaten out.
Fine, girl.
It's totally not the part of her that she wanted eaten out. Yeah. So, yeah, new girl's no, dead.
Blind girl.
Or not new girl. Blind girl's dead. New girl's like, fuck this. I'm out. She goes down, leaves the attic. She
takes the pickaxe because I think she's looking for him to kill him.
Yeah, she's smart enough to take the pickaxe. She runs back down the 90 flights of stairs that lead out the four-story house. And decides to
look in the well or whatever the fuck that was.
She checks on the side of the staircase and she's like, oh, if he's not here, he must be in the well.
So she climbs in and...
She leans over the edge of the well and gets pulled down into it. But then when you look down, the well super is deep. Like at least 20 feet deep and George Eastman's well, unless in the water. He
jumped, grabbed her, and then fell in the water.
Yeah, I guess he could have been on the ladder climbing out of the well as she yeah, looked over the edge.
Because I think he fell and that rope wrapped around her arm so she didn't go down with him.
Yeah. Yeah, the rope for the bucket definitely caught her arm. And when you look at it and the rope is wrapped around her arm, it's completely like, that's it. There's no rope dangling down from her wrist. It's all up from it. But when she's climbing up the ladder there's to get rope. Out of there, the rope keeps getting longer and longer. And it's awesome.
So...
It's like, you know what? We're going to feed you a line, guy. You need to yeah, eat her, too. Like,
he's following her. Like, he wants to eat New Girl. Like, he wants a bite of that Tisa Farrow. And,
mm-hmm.
And he climbs out of the well after she gets out. And she's trying to get this rope off her hand. And he's pulling on the rope. And she's sliding towards him.
Yeah, it's like tug of war, only she's not yeah. really tugging.
And then...
And it's got that really classic Italian fucking scene where the heroine just kind of stands there and stares back as he's just...
Pulling her.
Standing there, staring back. Instead of walking closer to her as he pulls, he stays in
yeah,
place.
Yeah, there'd be no point to pull if he was... walking closer.
Well, there is, because if you pull as you're walking closer, you eventually reach your target faster instead of standing and pulling.
Well, no, because you'll give it too much slack and then she can move backwards.
Well, no, if I'm pulling and I step forward and I reach out with my other hand and pull while I step forward, I'm never giving slack or allowing you to distance yourself while I am also moving closer.
That's probably something to do with how she almost gets it off of her wrist or something. I don't know.
Yeah, nobody really fucking cares. It works. It works in every Italian movie. Never, ever doubt that the whole Italian standoff stair scene ends yeah, in greatness.
You think that New Girl's gonna die. And all of a sudden, the pickaxe swings into George Eastman's belly.
Yeah. Doctor. Out of nowhere, pickaxe yep, to the gut.
Back. Where did he disappear to? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good question that I've never posed. Where the fuck was this guy the entire time? Who cares? He totally saved the day. Pickaxe, gut, George Eastman's stomach all over the place. He doesn't even stand there and try to hold the injury or his intestines in. Instead, he pulls his own intestines out and starts eating them.
Which is the most iconic thing from this movie.
Yeah, it is, actually. The entire time I was watching that scene, I was like, oh, he's going to eat his own shit. He's going to eat it. Take a bite.
It's a poster. It's like, it's everything in regards to this movie.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw the poster for this movie before I saw it. But that scene is iconic.
And then it's over. Happily ever after.
Yeah, there's nothing after that. It literally cuts to credits. They're just like, you know what? We can't eliminate the greatness of that scene or its effect. We have to completely end the movie right there. That's the last thing people are going to see.
Yep. So, did you like it?
Yeah, I do. I like Anthropophagus. We could have totally done this movie a month and a half ago when we intended to do it originally.
And we get sidetracked.
We didn't. But at least it's not a Night of the Demons.
We get sidetracked sometimes.
Yeah, it was worth it. Now it's our pre-Easter awesomeness. Yeah,
this will be... Actually, it is Easter.
Yes, technically it is Easter. Happy Easter, everybody. This guy ate his own stomach. And a baby. And a bunch of throats.
And on at 7 o'clock today. Well, if you're listening to it today.
Yeah, if you're listening to this.
Today at 7 o'clock, there will be an Easter special.
Yay. Easter
brownie. We don't even know what we're going to watch yet.
The Easter Bunny is evil. Not really. You know what? There is no Easter Bunny. Over there, that's just a guy in a suit. Classic mall rats.
Fucking Easter Bunny. Yeah, so you want to give this one a rating?
Yeah. You know what? We didn't even give our Easter special a rating.
No.
I just realized that. If I had to rate Anthropophagus, I would give it a 4.
Out of 5?
For its... Yeah, well, it's an old movie, so yes, out of 5. For its just iconicness and its level of over-the-top, fucking in-your-face, gruesome murders... Because, I mean, not all of them, but the baby eating definitely brings it up there. And the head in the bucket is always a classic. And the eating your own stomach has got to be one of the top of all time fucking slasher deaths. You'll never see another murderer, serial killer, slasher, fucking cannibal, vampire, werewolf. Like, I don't care what it is. Your main protagonist could be anything of any genre, and you will never get to see them take a pickaxe to the stomach and then eat it.
Have you seen the Absurd? It's kind of like the follow-up to this. It's Joe D'Amato and George Eastman's back. As co-writer and serial killer.
You know what?
But it's kind of like their version of Halloween. So is George Eastman's character. He could heal really fast and he's going around killing a bunch of people. He holds this lady's head in the oven for like an hour. Good move.
I might have seen this.
Pretty good.
Annie Bell, Charles Boromel. I might have actually seen that.
So, that's kind of like the follow-up to this. They're working together again, and it's a pretty good movie. They're a good team. George Eastman and Joe D'Amato. I would give this maybe a 4.5. Like I said, it's one of my, like, this is a top favorite flick, so.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth the watch, I will say that.
So, you want to watch the remake of this?
What? They remade Anthropophagus?
It's a German movie. Yeah.
What?
You can't look it up. You just have to download it, and we have to watch it, because you're not going to like it. Yeah.
Is it bad? Oh, man, that's terrible. Oh, I guess if it's a German remake.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Straight to camcorder.
Yeah, directed by the guy who did Violent Shit. So we're in for a treat.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we might have to do that.
I'm down.
Anthropophagus
2000.
It was done in 2000?
Done in 2000, but that's the name of the movie. Is Anthropophagus 2000.
Oh my god. No old movies that are redone with 2000 in the title are awesome. Dracula. Yep. I'm saying it right now. Dracula 2000 was awesome.
Dracula, I mean... Godzilla 2000 was good too.
Yeah, it has Matthew Broderick in it.
Not the 98 one. Not.
You know what? I'm actually going to put. I can't believe I don't have this movie already on my shit. So I'm going to put
Zilla?
It on it right now. No, Dracula 2000. No, I like it. It's got fucking, damn it, no, I can't think of his name. I had it on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, yeah.
And no bullshit, the only reason I saw Dracula 2000 was because it was produced by Wes Craven. Yeah, if you can get Wes Craven to produce your shit, I'll watch it. That's like Quentin Tarantino producing your shit.
Shitty movies with the produced by Wes Craven.
I'm trying to think of any. Did he produce Dracula 3000?
It's like Wes Craven presents Dracula 3000. It's like on a Wes Craven pack.
I'm gonna Google it right now because I don't know if Wes Craven did produce that as much as they just
put his name on the Dracula 2000 too. So
no, I'm pretty sure he did actually produce that.
They definitely slapped his name on it because I remember looking at the duty.
Yeah, Wes Craven did not produce 3000.
His name's on it.
That makes me happy because I saw that one and I was like, why did you guys do this? Because I really did enjoy 2000. I think that was actually my introduction to Gerard Butler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... No? He was in something else. What was the... I don't know. I'm not too worried about it.
I suppose nah. I could look up Gerard Butler's.
You could tell me later. Let's go ahead and tell the folks where they could find you.
Jeez. You can find me on all social media, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, fucking all of it, no matter what it is, at GeefBird, G-E-E-F Bird. You can find me on Slasher, the social app for horror lovers, at the same handle, G-E-E-F Bird. God, I hate spelling that out. But that's my name on everything. And yeah, I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, I think so. You could you could like the page for the podcast where the residents of Loonsville go on Facebook. On go Facebook. Ahead and drop us a message and suggest a movie you want to hear us babble on about. And you could find me on Slasher under Slippery underscore Cannibal. And on Instagram with the same handle, Slip Cannibal on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook if you search, if you find Residents of Loonsville, I'm on there. I'm easy to find.
Yeah. Look us up. Find us. Give us some suggestions for movies you want to see or hear reviewed or anything.
Yeah. We've been talking about... Well, look at the page and I'll update if we're going to do some Twitch stuff and different episodes or... suggestions or just fun stuff that we're into, we're post on it and stuff. So find us and you have a good night.
Yeah, have a happy Easter.
Yep.
Yeah, see, the dog wants you to have a good Easter.